That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Core.
Dungeon.
We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally, the lowly.
A good bit of steam this week.
Lowly worm from the busy world of Richard Scarry.
What? Excuse me, there's only one worm wife here. And it's me.
We got the worm wife, Emily Axford, but we also have the lowly bailiff, Jake Carwin.
What's another creature that crawls on the earth? What could we give to Jake?
Centipede.
Centipede is pretty good. That's too many legs, though. I feel like a lot of legs.
He's a little roach. He keeps coming back.
What? Lowly Roach has a good ring to it, for
no
sure.
No matter how many times we try to crush him.
God, you guys know how much I hate roaches.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. We've talked about the busy world of Richard Scarry. The audience is going to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
On the main feed, I hope.
I hope so as well.
I know.
If not, check it out. Yeah, he drives an apple. He's a worm.
What kind of car does Jake drive, though, since he's Lowly Roach, which I imagine is like Lowly Worm's friend or maybe
enemy? He probably just...
It's a rotten apple.
Scuttles on the underbelly of Richard Scarry's.
Oh, scuttles on the underbelly? I love that.
Richard Scarry's.
I'm not going to read the fucking cases. Apple. I'm not reading the cases.
Maybe he's got like an apple skateboard that's just really rotten and he's just like scuttling along on his belly.
Just scuttling along on the ground, but the skateboard's rolling.
Or maybe he just rolls into the sewers and lets the sewage carry him.
Come on, at least let me skateboard. Come on.
You're scuttling.
Oh, he surfs.
Scuttling on the skateboard.
Guys, he surfs in filthy garbage water on a nasty apple.
That makes sense. You're a sewage surfer.
Actually, it would be like a little like matchbox or something.
Oh, he kind of likes it. We got to pivot.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Yeah, this is actually... Let me check the surf report of the sewer system.
Your wife is a piece of shit.
Hear ye. Shut up. Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner are presiding. And our first case... comes from the Brunch Guild.
Ooh.
They write,
that is bold. I love a brunch D&D crew. We've done it before.
It's fun.
It was actually really good. Yeah, because you get really caffeinated and really amped.
Yeah. You got to manage your mimosa and your coffee ratio.
We would call it brunches and braggins.
But I think I never paired it with mimosa. I just pounded coffee.
Oh, I had mimosas.
Coffee's
for
a drug.
Sure.
Yeah. It's the best way to get the worst headache of your life.
Yes.
That sounds great. The Indian bacon? Come on.
Yeah.
All right. The Brunch Guild writes, I play in a streamed 5e campaign that has been running for over 2 years now. One of the players has a third-party subclass that was built with the support from the DM due to the player's desired character arc. The class focuses heavily, almost exclusively, on fire damage. The player has even spent resources on Elemental Adept to bypass fire resistance.
Okay.
However... every, and I did not say most, I said every significant enemy we have faced since this subclass was introduced has not just been resistant to fire, but immune to fire.
Oh! Mm.
Okay. Yeah, you worked with your DM and your DM worked you.
The player has voiced frustration on a number of occasions, and the DM just seems to chuckle and move on. I ask you judges, should the DM have been more conscious of choosing enemies that made a player's character irrelevant, or should the player just live with the fact that the whole world seems to be immune to fire damage and take some other damage types?
That's so brutal.
That's really rough.
So why would you work with the DM just to absolutely...
Working with the DM is the weird part.
To get completely fucked over. It's like they looked at your answers just to mark you wrong.
And
just to make a new test that you would fail.
There's no good way to be like, haha, I guess another person is... immune to fire. Like, how do you even bring that up?
Also, yeah, generally most things are famously not immune to fire.
Unless like, it's like most, yeah, it's like demons are like the one that are immune to fire.
Yeah,
but like,
I guess
even
like, yeah, I guess like if you're a devil in
that's
hell.
That's true. If they are currently on a hell arc, then I would say that I actually think that it is fair.
Yeah, but that would be
literally in hell, not figuratively in hell at the D&D table, right. As your damage is irrelevant.
Will you look up Elemental Adept? It might say something about this.
So let's see. You gain the following benefits. Spells you cast ignore resistance to fire damage. In addition, when you roll a damage for a spell that you cast that deals fire damage, treat anyone on damage dice too. You can select this feat multiple times. Each time you do so, choose a different type of damage.
Okay, so it bypasses resistances, but that doesn't come into play when everything is immune.
Wow. I was sitting here like, oh, the DM is actually kind of using it because they're making them use their feats, but they're making it so that not only is their character worthless because they do fire damage,
but their feats are worthless.
Also, it's such a missed opportunity because like going up against fire characters and demons and creatures and monsters and villains and having them like losing the opportunity to be like, I see you too are birthed from the flame. We are alike, you and I.
Yeah.
Like you're losing so much characterization there.
Can I bring up a really stupid thought that I'm having just right now in this moment?
Spill it.
When you're looking through like high level monsters, they're just immune to so much shit that you're like, why?
Yes.
I feel like when I look at some of these monsters, I wish that the people making them just made them just have more hit points instead of 7 immunities.
I think that, well, I think it becomes more complicated when we're doing theater of the mind and we're recording it. Mm-hmm. I think D&D becomes a lot more like Warhammer when you're sitting there playing at a table with everyone.
I know, but like, why is like a fey lady just magically resistant to poison, lightning, fire, radiant?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, poison, like, I guess,
it always, maybe it always just feels like a motley of everything.
Yeah, everyone's immune to poison damage. That happens all the time. It's like any kind of robot, any kind of immortal, any kind
I'm just saying,
a lot of monsters.
Give big bads less immunities and resistances and just give them some more HP.
Yeah. That's what you want to do. You just want to chop them down.
I think.
But forgive me if this is an incredibly hot
take. Well, I think it's just, I think when you're playing at home, it's a lot different than when we're playing for the show because no one wants to sit and listen to us like try out different types of damage.
I guess I'm saying like
that's
a lot of
piercing damage.
Sorry, Saul. You actually.
That's my point. Is I like when I look through and I'm like, oh, that tracks. But a lot of times it'll just be like a monster who's like a Gorgon chaser, and it's just like magically resistant to radiant and infernal or something like that.
Yeah, it's just like angels can't kick this dude's ass.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess
it feels like the teacher cheating instead of the students.
If they are doing like Escape from Avernus,
can teachers cheat?
That's a movie.
That would be the name of the movie. Can teachers cheat?
That's definitely the name of a romance novel.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm going to do a generous read here.
Okay.
I hate it with every fiber of my being, but it must be done for the sake of the court.
Yeah.
Maybe the DM is like trying to set up some sort of like big character moment where they're like, oh, I can't do anything. I can't help my friends. They're immune to all my fire damage. And then like way down the line, they're going to meet some sort of like Olaf monster that's made of snow. And it's like a snowball in hell sort of situation. And they're going to be the one to save them.
The issue with that, though, is that they are, by that logic, the DM is trying to give that player a real life breakdown where they say, my character can't do anything.
Just metagaming, hating your character.
Yeah.
The idea of being like the way to DM is to break them as people.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then their characters will reflect their
because it's true. We've had moments.
You don't think of all of the anguish that player is going to go through that right up until they hit that breaking point. Their life at the table is hell.
Yeah, your DM needs to make you like break up with your girlfriend in game or something like that. Don't make it so that your attacks don't work. There are different ways to give people a dark night of the soul other than like making them worthless in combat.
I think the only generous read here is if they're running like Escape from Avernus and they're literally in hell, which I think that would be burying the lead if the submitter didn't do that.
I have a feeling Brunch Guild would have told us this.
Yeah.
It's also is anyone else a little thrown off that this wasn't about a brunch snafu?
I thought this was gonna be
my DM had 10 Bloody Marys and killed my character. Is that okay?
Our DM tried to schedule a session during lunch and we all revolted.
Yeah.
Right. So our DM ordered waffle to split but ate the whole thing.
Yeah, because he
asked to split it on the bill.
I was imagining like everyone drinking orange juice together and eating scones. And then the question started off with, we play in an online game together. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Disappointing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess we
sent all of you to have brunch.
Although the phrase, the brunch guild, we immediately went to D&D, but it actually could be like a union of waiters and waitresses.
Okay. So them going shift. To brunch is actually bad because they're at work.
Okay. It's brutal.
They need a guild more than anything.
They really do. They really do.
I take it back.
Take it back, Murph.
I absolutely take it back.
Take it back even more.
I'm taking it back so hard right
take
now.
Take it all the way back.
Okay.
Take it all the way back to the lowly thing again.
Yeah. Welcome everyone to Dungeon Court.
Surfing Roach.
Let's punish this DM.
Yeah.
Why would you do this? It's such like it's DM trying to beat their players, which is such a silly way to think. But not only is that a dumb way to think, but it's even dumber to essentially cheat at doing it by being let's build our characters together, and then I'm going to use that to hurt your character. What a dumb way to
fire stuff? I got an idea for your next enemy. You're going to be very surprised.
The only thing you're allowed to do is like find out your husband's weakest stat and then target him with saves that use that stat.
There you go.
Just kidding.
I think we got to... I don't know. Maybe we should do some arson. Maybe we burn down.
Right.
Like,
I mean, there's going to be a lot of grease at brunch.
Yeah. Just like a mailbox.
We could burn their eggs, but you're saying burn down their property.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like they have mailbox. To eat an entirely burnt brunch.
Wow. Oh, there we go.
Oh, burnt let's toast, burnt eggs.
Yeah, burnt
toast.
And a really hot mimosa.
Hot mimosas.
That's great. You think it's carbonated, but it's boiling.
Yeah. Boiling hot.
Oh, there it is.
Melts away the alcohol. The orange juice is so hot, it's dangerous.
Boiling? But it's a boiling hot mimosa.
They bring it out to you and they get one of those brulee torches.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to hot brunch.
Nothing like a steaming mimosa to kick off my week.
And how charred would you like your oatmeal?
I think we've launched just a
hot brunch.
Just
hot
a good brunch. Restaurant idea.
Dim can only eat hot brunch and actually can only eat at our restaurant.
Yeah.
This is our new show, is Hot Brunch. It's like hot ones, but people come on. Yeah. And we give them terrible brunch.
We give them just the most burnt eggs Benedict they've ever freaking seen.
And molten mimosas.
It's not spicy at all. It's just, it's burnt and it's actually like temperature-wise.
Yeah, right. It's just super hot. It hurts. It's not possible.
You're going to burn your tongue.
It's straight from the oven.
Yeah,
you're going to burn parts. You're going to burn your teeth.
Yeah, there's an oven in the dining room. It's not even in the kitchen.
We're going to ruin Pedro Pascal's mouth.
That's how close we get. Yeah.
Okay, so just like the burnt pancake, just like the burger. Oh, fuck me.
Oh, look at the roach. Look at the roach. Just like the roach.
Cuddle, you little roach.
I was going to let you get away with it, but then you were funny about it.
Yeah. If I misspeak three times in a row, it has to stay over. I get one redo.
We are really respectful at this point. We give everyone one redo. But if you spiral on the third redo, mess it up and then panic.
All right, let's flip the roach over so he can scuttle away.
So ordered. Catron writes, to the divinely favored court and the heathen bailiff, I present the case of the hag underground. Oh, wow. Speaking of roaches.
Ooh, a heathen roach. Okay. That'd be so cute.
Yeah.
Hag underground.
My party was fighting a coven of hags, and after another member of our party killed one of the three, our DM, instead of continuing the fight, had both of the other hags flee. Okay. One of them disappearing into the ethereal plane, and another turning into a swarm of beetles via polymorph and burrowing into the ground. He said that unless any of us had anything preventing them from fleeing, combat was over.
Okay, so they gave you the chance.
Uh-huh. Normal so far.
They gave you the chance.
Yeah, roaches are a type of beetle. Go on.
I said that my Bladesinger wizard cast Dispel Magic on the hag transformed into a beetle swarm, since the spell doesn't require you to see the effect you're ending. It wasn't until I successfully rolled an 18 to dispel the polymorph that my DM started arguing that I couldn't do that. First, he said I couldn't see the beetles, so I couldn't cast it. Then, he agreed I could cast it, but ruled that there was just an unpolymorphed hag 15 feet underground and that she took no damage and would escape on her next turn via another spell if none of us could reach her. Mm-hmm. My fellow players argued that she couldn't cast any spells with verbal or somatic components if she was immobilized under the ground, but we were ignored. I beg your benevolent ruling.
I could cast a verbal and somatic spell underground.
We could bury Emily. And
I think I for sure could. I will get a mouthful of dirt, but my spell will fucking fly off.
Could chat with a mouthful of dirt.
I absolutely could.
You're the life worm. Of course you could.
I'm the life worm.
What is a verbal spell anyway? Like, do you need to project it? Does everyone need to say it, or do you just need to move your lips?
Well...
Like,
That's a good question.
I think you need to say something. I think you need to say, yeah, like,
you
got to
form the fricatives. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like, because, like, something like silence can prevent the verbal component of a spell. Mm-hmm. If someone needs to hear something.
Yeah. Right.
But can you take, like, two chomps of dirt and then be able to at least get, like,
I really think I could.
Yeah.
I'm basing this off of the idea of me buried alive. Mm-hmm. I think I could mumble.
I don't know about somatic, though. Somatic is going to be tricky because your hands are going to be, like, stuck in the dirt. You would really have to wriggle really hard.
I will say that now we're getting serious. Now this is a serious debate about whether or not we can speak underground.
Our marriage hinges on this.
No, why?
Murph, you have to go
to
dig a hole, dude.
That I can do this.
Yeah, I don't think you can speak underground.
I mean,
I feel like rarely in D&D is there something you can replicate in real life, and burying somebody underground, that's just fully one-to-one.
15 feet of earth above you, that's a lot of pressure.
Well, it doesn't matter about the pressure. It's just like, if all you need to do is, like, chomp down, like, two mouthfuls of dirt, and then you've got enough mouth room to cast the spell. It doesn't matter if anyone hears it. You just need to, like, form the words and speak them into the weave.
You've got space in your belly to swallow some dirt to make space for your hands to articulate.
I don't know. If you're a beetle and then you suddenly expand to your full size and you're 15 feet underground, I think you would just...
You'd be in trouble.
You're stuck.
You're in a lot of trouble.
I would admit defeat and die.
If it's... Okay. So do we know what spell they were trying to cast, turning into a swarm of bugs?
Is that
polymorph?
That's polymorph. Well, yeah. I guess let's look up polymorph and see if it's just somatic or just verbal or if it's both. Because if it's both, I feel like that's a little tricky.
See, here's the deal, guys. I think we're arguing the wrong thing here. I think it's not about whether or not you can survive in a bunch of dirt.
Us arguing the wrong point because it's more fun on D&D. I can't imagine that
happening. It's a first for the court.
Okay.
It's a first for the court.
All right. I won't say my real opinion.
No, give your real opinion. Give your real opinion.
Hey, you know what? Bury your real opinion, man. Put it 15 feet.
Okay. And let it cast a spell.
All I'm saying is, if it's purely verbal, you should be able to speak it. Also, if you're that far under the earth, your spells are going to work better because the earth is kind of like an attuning presence. Because all of your spells come from the earth. They come from the weave of all things living and alive and dead, and that balance. So if you're deep in the earth, oh my God, you're so close to corpses and bugs.
Yeah.
You're being able to draw on, like, all sorts of new energy.
I like this earthy defense. I will say, the fact that this DM, like, they were clearly trying to get their people out of there, but I do like that they said they were inviting people to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like that 15 feet underground, I don't know, could a whole party then get to them and dig them out? Maybe.
I think that they're arguing the wrong thing. The fact that the DM caved instantly started out by offering them an option, said you can cast dispel magic, let them roll, let them succeed, and then took it away. It's just, if you can't get to them, say no. That's it. If that's going to be your ruling, is that, like, you can't get to them?
Yeah.
Because the scarabs might have, or the beetles, swarm of beetles, might have enough movement that they can, like, burrow down and get out of range. Oh, their burrow speed's only 5 feet, so they can't get very far.
It's pretty slow.
They're so slow. So I think this is not only kind of open and shut by the book, but also just socially, to be like, you know, as someone running the game, you shouldn't sit there and be like, yeah, go ahead and try. Okay, I rolled an 18. No, you can't do it.
Yeah. Although it would have been more unsatisfying if it had been like, can I dispel the magic, and just have them be like, no.
I disagree. Really? I think that don't offer something as a role if there's no way someone can succeed. Because imagine...
You think it hurts more because they got a chance to roll from it?
Yeah, so flip it.
You played the game and you won. You rolled the
dice. Exactly.
You need it to be that high number, then it is. Yeah. And then the DM
and then they
said,
say no.
Actually, your roll was meaningless.
Exactly. Just say no if... Yeah.
Then you also wasted an 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't happen very often.
There's kind of no reason to say no here. It's like, there's a coven, you want your bad guys to escape, I get it, but they already killed one, they got the other one through, like, you know, trickery, and they're able to like dispel it, and then you have a fun, interesting thing, and you still have one of your witches has escaped.
Yeah.
Still, someone has escaped.
Yeah.
You still, all they of your story threads covens. And everything is all, it's all still there. Why you would argue this is kind of silly to me.
I've personally got a frittata browning for this Or rather blackening, really, because that's how burnt it's becoming.
Okay,
Cajun style.
For this DM.
Yeah, okay. So let's serve this DM a hot brunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be scalding hot brunch, and your server is on roller skates, actually.
Yeah.
It's dangerously hot.
First time on roller skates.
Question, yeah. Are the roller skates also hot?
They could be.
I think that Caldwell, the danger of this is that they are not sure on the roller skates, and so therefore they could
eating hot food hurts, whereas hot wheels. It, first off, is just a different toy. That's just totally separate.
It's a tiny car.
But the Hot Wheels of a roller skate doesn't really affect anyone.
That's very fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, if I got a plate of molten mimosas spilled on my lap, like, that would be a lawsuit, probably.
Right. Whereas if I was just roller skating near Emily with Hot Wheels on...
With a Hot Wheel taped on each.
Yeah. Well, when you walk into the restaurant, you sign like a release. A
lot of
waivers. Yes, it says you might get scalded.
We have no liability. Our waiters are skaters.
Skater waiters. Okay, so we have skater waiters. We have skater waiters. And we say, you sign a waiver. You sign a waiver for the skater waiters.
That's one. That's one waiver.
And there's also another waiver that says you might get scalded and scolded.
Right.
So the waiters yell at you because it's your fault because you're in the way of their roller skating.
So then we bring in that sort of fun. It feels like they haven't been around in a while, but those restaurants where people are really mean to you.
Yeah. It's a restaurant where people are
a relic of the past.
Yeah.
I'm imagining what a liability.
Is it a little too hot for you, Buttercup?
That's just Starbucks for me. Yeah. But it's usually because I'm rude first.
Right.
What do you mean you don't have my latte?
And you also always, you have like a little bit, you're into getting scolded a little bit, so you always give your name as something really defamatory.
Jake doesn't have mobile ordering, but he thinks if he just goes in there and acts like he mobile ordered, then he should have a drink.
Jake takes a sip of his cold brew and says, "This is so hot!"
I go to the mobile order pickup and I kind of just look for something that looks like my name or what I might like.
Right.
It is crazy that people don't steal more.
They definitely do.
Is that a problem?
I would have to imagine so.
Whenever I'm like in that crew waiting to pick up.
You're thinking about it.
Because I've never done the mobile order or anything like that. And I'm always just like, these people are putting faith in a system that does not love them back.
Hey, if you've ever stolen an order from Starbucks.
Let us know. We'll send you to a hot brunch.
We'll send you to a hot brunch. We are the law. Okay. So ordered. Our next case comes from Rachel W. Rachel writes, "May it please the Honorable Supreme Crit Justices, the baby bailiff, and his baby, thank you."
Aww, look at all those
eggs. I give you the case of the unpardonable passive perception. Our campaign hinged on a very important map that was wanted by different factions across the wide world. Our party had taken turns carrying the map, and as we entered a busy and gritty city, we decided that I, the surly, suspicious dwarven druid, should hold the map for safekeeping. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I narrated putting the map inside my shirt, robes, and leather armor against my stomach, repeating that I would be hyper aware of the map at all times, checking it frequently, and regarding everyone around me with extreme caution. A few in-game days later, we hunkered down in a hotel, and I narrated taking the map out to be sure it hadn't been damaged in a recent fight. The DM told me it was gone. Mm. I asked when it had been taken, and he said, "You don't know. That's how passive perception works." I insisted that I had been aware of the map and had it buried under the numerous pieces of clothing it would have been impossible to pickpocket. He relented and told me it had been stolen by someone in the street the day before, but that he had rolled against my passive perception and I hadn't noticed. He maintained, however, that the map had been taken and there was nothing we could do about it now. I beseeched the court to tell me, must I accept my grizzled and grumpy dwarven hermit didn't notice someone pulling a map from under the multiple layers of her clothing and let the whole party down, or has justice been denied by my DM? I humbly await your judgment.
I think there's no mechanics for, like, I have 10 shirts on and I'm hiding something under those 10 shirts.
Yeah.
I would say the DC goes up by 5 per shirt.
Yeah, it's just this is what your passive perception is. You could argue, the only argument that you could make, because everything else is just fluff, everything else is just outside of mechanics, right? This is just role play, is saying, I'm keeping it right there. You could say that they get an actual perception check and it's not passive perception. That could be an argument that you could have made, is like, I'm being hyper aware of this thing. I'm looking out at all times, which would just be a perception check. But this is kind of what passive perception is for.
It's like I think that passive perception is more like if I were to DM, obviously I'm not the most experienced DM whatsoever, but my instinct is if I'm going to try to steal from my players, that's going to be active perception because it just doesn't feel fun. But if my players want to steal from someone that they're interacting with, I'll default to passive perception because who fucking cares? Like I'm like rooting for that fun, but it just I feel like if you want to steal from your players, you really have to earn it, because otherwise it just feels really like
I feel like passive perception, I know that everyone has it on their sheet, to me it feels like it's more for like NPCs and enemies, like like you can use it against your players, but I feel like it's more for like your players to use against you.
I feel like it's more like for situations that someone isn't anticipating rather than I have this thing that I'm afraid of someone stealing.
I don't think there's anything passive about trying to reach up someone's shirt to take a mask.
Yeah, that's true. That's
passive
true.
Petting.
Mm. Well, what Murph said made a lot of sense to me. It's like if you role play, like Frodo putting the ring around a necklace around his neck, you're like, okay, doesn't that like leave the idea of passive perception and move into like active perception?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a good point.
I think it personally does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
There might be a Crawford ruling, but...
Can we briefly take a detour? Because I thought this case was going to be about the fact that they were like pressing the map right up against their chest, and the DM was going to say they looked at it and it was like all sweaty and like all of the details had like fallen off.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think that might have been more earned than what happened.
You had money on the table, DM, is all I'm saying.
I just feel like you're expecting someone to steal it. And that doesn't feel, it feels like passive perception should be, I'm in a store trying to buy something and I don't notice someone sneak in and try to attack
someone. Okay, let's see here.
Someone.
Okay, so passive checks. A passive check is a special kind of ability check that doesn't involve any dice rolls. Such a check can represent the average result for a task done repeatedly, such as searching for secret doors over and over again, or can be used when the DM wants to secretly determine whether the character succeed at something without rolling dice, such as noticing a hidden monster.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I think that technically by the book, the DM could get away with this, which is why I do think this one is like kind of tough. But I will say that like, I think you guys have convinced me that, like, this person has role played that they're watching it, like, with all. Yeah. It's like Frodo is doing active perception checks on the ring.
Yeah.
Like,
to
be like, that's passive is silly. Like, that's not passive.
Yeah.
He's stroking it. He's contemplating a life with the ring.
Yeah. So
I feel like passive perception is you guys are going, you're walking through the woods, and then the DM is like, cool, I'm going to roll to find out if these people who are stalking them are going to get a sneak attack.
Yeah. If my character's walking through the woods not doing perception checks and like a bear jumps out, it's like, that's on me. That's my passive perception then. I get that. But it's like, if I'm wearing glasses and someone takes my glasses off, that's a regular perception check. Right?
Because I'm perceiving my body at all times.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't take your shirt. You took your hoodie.
Yeah.
Hoodie is barely even touching your skin.
That is true. Yeah, by mechanics of the game, you could just like slide in someone's like hoodie.
You just constantly be stealing from people.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. At first, I'm now completely talking myself out of anything that would allow
you
to get away with this.
You wake up and your kidney is just gone.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is active perception, 100%. They said they were actively perceiving it, so should have gotten a roll. Go ahead and do a perception check. Why
Which
not
sometimes
do that?
Your perception check can be worse than your passive perception.
Yeah.
I think what we got to do is we got to take some cinnamon rolls that look kind of like chunks of molten rock. They're so bright and black and hot. Just shove them right under their shirt, right?
Great.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I love that.
And that's not a lawsuit because you signed
like
a
hot stones.
That's
but
not a lawsuit.
Hot,
you signed and we hot can rolls. Yell at you about it. You can be scolded.
That's not
scalded. This is hot brunch.
This is hot brunch. The skater waiters are mean.
Waiters do not.
And the mimosas are boiling point.
And the skater waiters, they have taters because our hash browns are on
there. Boiling.
But
boiling
they look
hot.
like little volcanic nuggets because they are that burned.
Well, they're not even.
You're going to want those to cool off for a day or two.
They're just straight up boiling potatoes. Brown. They're still
so wild.
In the pot.
Like, how do they get them that hot? They look like ingots.
Yeah.
How about this for the slogan? Hot brunch. If you can't take the heat, you suck.
And really you can't good. Sue us about it.
It's really good.
That's in small font underneath.
Printed on a nine of cattails.
Okay, sick. So ordered. Our next case comes from Ruben W. They write, may it please the court and the lowly but rugged and handsome bailiff. Thank you.
Whoa.
Yes. Oh, interesting.
You think roaches are handsome? Come on now.
I'm just picturing an L.L. Bean catalog full of roaches. Roaches working their
roaches modeling their a flannel.
It's a fucking awesome the grout shit. I
roaches
love it.
Roaches in flannels next to a fireplace. Whoa. Going on a hike.
Look at the fucking denim on that beetle.
Just raking leaves.
Holy shit. That bug is walking a dog.
Wow. Is that a sheepskin denim retriever? Jacket on that?
Shit, he got that thing from a breeder.
What a beautiful family.
I submit for the approval the case of the fallen T-Rex. My friends and I were playing D&D near the end of a multi-year campaign and were in a fight that would lead to its final stage.
Oh my God.
Yes.
During the fight, our artificer used a polymorph spell to transform into a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Cool.
But was knocked prone a few minutes later. When it came back to the artificer's turn, our DM claimed that since a T-Rex's arms were so small, it couldn't use them to help itself up.
What?
He then claimed that because of this, a prone T-Rex could stand back up and would eventually die of starvation.
Yeah. Let me refer to a little something as the Shawn Michaels kip-up, okay?
Ooh, the kip!
Ooh.
That dude did not need arms to stand up.
Yeah.
Barely needed legs to do it.
Look it up.
He has core strength.
Look it up.
It's insane.
Have you ever tried to do that kip up thing where you're on your back?
Yes,
and you're like,
I'm terrible at it.
I'm so bad at it.
That's what I'm talking about.
I've never once tried it, nor will I ever.
I've tried it so many times to be like HBK, the heartbreak kid, but I just can't do it.
But I do think that like if I was flat like a worm, like a wife worm or a rugged roach, like on the ground, I think I could like roll myself over and I could I could get up.
The idea that T-Rex has never stood up ever is so silly.
Yeah,
right.
Like they, or they never went down.
Yeah.
If they ever go down, they die of starvation.
They're just
they
dead.
Could never
stand
up.
It's like
up.
A, yeah. I mean,
I think their legs are that powerful because
they got big legs.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
their legs, but I got it. I really believe in the T-Rex core.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We don't know if dinosaurs had abs or not.
We don't know anything. We don't know anything about their muscles. We only
know
about their bones. Don't talk to me about their muscles because we don't know.
People are going on and on
nothing
about
else.
The feathers. They're like, oh, yeah, maybe they had feathers. I don't fucking care if they had feathers. Yeah. I want to know if they were shredded.
If they had feathers, maybe they had fucking wings and they fucking flew back
down. Did a T-Rex have an 8-pack or not?
He had a 16-pack.
Because of this claim, he then said that the prone T-Rex artificer was effectively dead and the polymorph spell would end. Me
just
and the artificer
the
looked at each other.
Just do the rules. If you can't be creative, just do the rules. Just read the Dungeon Master's Guide and stop being creative. You have to stop. It's not a creative person.
I like.
Don't improvise.
This is the problem with Rule of Cool is if you're not cool.
You're not cool. Yeah.
The T-Rex's arms are too small. It can't do a push-up. It can't stand up.
I love how this person wasn't like, oh, this is a funny idea. The T-Rex with his tiny arms standing up. They didn't narrate your tiny arms pushing yourself up and have a little fun with that.
I don't know. If you're just having a silly time, I guess you could just be like up for like you have to use half your movement to get up because
you have tiny arms.
Or you have to use your full movement
I'm going
to
try it right now. Hold on.
Yeah. You can't keep
up. This is actually.
Oh my God. You're going to hit
yourself. You're just
going to
stand
yourself.
Up. What's he doing? I can't even see. He's under the table.
I'm just wiggling
it's
my way up.
Perfect for podcasting.
He just wiggled up.
Yeah,
it was perfect.
Another
we didn't even call him a hot brunch.
And
someone pour a coffee in this dude's lap.
Do they sort of do like award ceremonies for podcasts? Because I think that clip might be.
I'm just us confused in the room. Couldn't even see him.
In the running for
the amount of times Caldwell does visual bits. What was it? The flip a seat? The worst. No, the podcasting award for worst podcasting moment was the running joke of let's flip a DVD. And it's just.
Oh, yeah.
No one can see it. It doesn't make a difference. It's just a 50-50 chance. It's not unique. It's not funny.
I actually think that was really funny.
Well, now it's funny.
I think that was really funny, personally. I think we should bring Flip a DVD back.
It took a few minutes to get the DVD.
Yeah,
right?
It took him time. He like, left.
Yeah,
like, it's not
the execution
right.
The
not
of
that
it
strong.
Was a little wanting.
That was what it was all about.
I had to figure out where the screeners were in the house.
Yeah. And then he got it, and it's just like, cool, I've got a DVD of
really
Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
Let's flip it.
And then it ended up being heads, I recall.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what we were flipping for.
We'll never remember that. All we'll remember is the good times we had flipping those DVDs.
Yeah, this is silly.
Anyway, me and the artificer looked at each other in disbelief and both voiced our displeasure in the ruling, claiming it wasn't realistic and even going so far as to show myself, Caldwell, standing up off the ground without the use of my arms.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
Never mind.
Solidarity.
That was actually prophecy what Caldwell did.
The DM relented slightly and said the artificer could remain in Tyrannosaurus form, but would be stuck in the prone position while the spell was active, effectively neutering his combat capability.
Also, if this was a limitation mechanically of the T-Rex, it would say so.
Yeah, it would say if they fall prone, they can't get up.
If they fall prone, they
can't. The stats are there. Just read the, if you can't
the T-Rex was an apex predator. So dangerous. If it tripped over a log in the woods, it was just dead.
It's just dead.
Do I need to get on the ground again?
Yeah.
It's controversial that whether or not the T-Rex might have been a scavenger. You're a scavenger, you gotta fucking get up if you fall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And run to the next
carcass.
Scramble
on the ground after all those little dead guys.
You'd be wriggling in the dirt.
Every animal, even a roach can right itself up if it's flipped over onto its back.
Even a roach can get its life together.
Yeah.
That's aspirational.
Theoretically.
Even a roach.
I'll have the hot huevos ranchero. Wait, you're skating away from
you.
Me. Can I have a boiling Arnold Palmer, please? Oh, my goodness.
Of a red hot Bloody Mary.
Yeah, it's a Bloody Mary, but it's got those little coasters that keep your coffee hot. But we do it on Bloody Marys.
I think it's got Frank's Red Hots in it too.
Yeah.
How do we feel about this DM having to be prone at the restaurant and just getting?
Oh, they should be one of our waiters.
The skater waiters.
Oh, that's
because they'll find out when you're scared how much you can get up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'll be prone a lot when our skater waiters are constantly tripping and falling down.
Our skater waiters are not only mean to the patrons, they're also mean to each other.
They're mean to
each other.
And
the managers are so
it's
mean.
A hostile work it's environment.
So hostile.
In that environment, it is hot, it is stressful, everyone's mad. You're skating for the first time in your life.
For the first time.
Because after your first shift, you need to take a month off. So that you forget how to skate.
Wow.
No, first day is you're on roller skates. Second day, we mix it up. You're on a skateboard.
That's great.
Third day, rollerblade. Just because we don't want you to get used to the boots. We don't want
Fourth
you to get
day,
used to the boots.
We fill the restaurant with snow.
Scooter. And then snow. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what the bear is about, right? I haven't seen it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's just a restaurant where everyone's
Jeremy
mean to each other.
Jeremy plays a really mean skater waiter.
Yeah.
Can I get some more hot beignets over here? Order up.
All right. So
this isn't burnt enough.
This DM has
need to
been
see the
sentenced,
char.
Sentenced to being a skater waiter.
Okay, skater waiter at the restaurant.
I have an embarrassing confession, which is that I actually really like my food burnt.
How burnt?
Yeah.
Like charred?
I love a char.
Yeah.
I like a char.
That's an acceptable thing.
So we're talking about this, and I'm really trying to picture it in a way that isn't appetizing.
I think it's dangerously hot.
It's so hot. Yeah.
I think it's not a char. Yeah, yeah. I think it's
burnt omelet, not an issue for me either. But it's really hot.
It's so hot.
Omelet. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think it's straight out of liquid yolk. So hot.
Yeah.
Do you know my dad can make a perfect omelet? Go on.
No. I will not.
I haven't tried
the perfect omelet.
What's his technique? Yeah.
There's not a single, it's entirely uniform in color, a smooth little pocket.
Does he do a French fold?
Yeah.
Here, I got to ask you a question. Because here's my strategy for a French fold omelet that's perfect, no color on it, single color, just a beautiful jaune yellow.
Okay.
Is what I have to do is I have to make two bad omelets first. Is your dad throwing away secret omelets?
No, I don't think so. Wow. I'm guessing his tip or trick is that maybe he just has nicer pans than I do.
Yeah,
you need a good pan.
Yeah, I got bad pans.
Yeah, okay.
I think there's maybe a shame omelet involved. I don't want to insinuate anything.
That my dad makes two omelets for every one omelet.
You're talking about my father.
What is this accusation?
I'm sorry.
He's saying my father who raised me makes two omelets for every one omelet.
You just have to open your eyes. He's a flawed human being, Emily. Maybe he's got some shame omelet.
Fuck, you're putting doubt in my head. Go on, Jake. Go on.
You'll never enjoy one of those omelets again. Gee, thanks, Dad. Let me throw away my napkin. No, Emily. No, I'll throw it away. And I'll take out the trash.
There's a garbage can right next to the oven. It's just right next to the stove, and it just stinks of eggs. It's just the whole kitchen stinks of eggs.
Here's the thing, Emily. God. You'll be tasting the truth, though, and what's going to come out.
Wow. Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Factor. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. You can check out their menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto Friendly. Folks, their fresh, never frozen meals are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart your new routine. What are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from, every week you'll always have new flavors to explore. So make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy and nutritious options. And also keep that kitchen time to a minimum. Factor's meals are ready in just 2 minutes. So that's no shopping, no prepping, no cooking or cleaning up. Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Head on over to factormeals.com/pawpaw50 and use the code pawpaw50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code pawpaw50 at factormeals.com/pawpaw50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Thank you, everybody. Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Oh. Okay, my life is upside down. Please read the next question, Jake.
So ordered. Our next case comes from them. And they write, "Hey there, judges. I bring to y'all the case of the PC who doesn't know what a healing potion is while another PC rolls death save."
Okay.
Okay.
Three players, I guess for anonymity, they say, let's call them Taldwell Canner, mm-hmm. Emily Exford, and Mariah Burphy.
Let's do Huey, Dewey, and Louie, okay?
Right, yeah.
Okay, Huey Tanner. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just suggest, my friend was looking for a three-person costume, and I suggested that. Huey,
Dewey, solid, yeah. Yeah. Solid.
Cool. Yeah, you could also do Alvin, Simon, and Theodore, but Huey,
no, and Louie. Dude, no.
Okay, sorry. All right. Okay, so they ended up in combat, and it looks like, oh God, this is going to be so hard. And it looked like Louis found himself in death.
Okay, wait, hang on, because Louis is me.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, actually.
Right.
I'm Dewey.
Okay, M's
I
Dewey.
I have to be.
Caldwell's Huey.
I don't know anything about their personalities or if they individually at all.
Okay, so Emily is Huey. Caldwell.
No, I'm Dewey.
Dude.
Other way? Dewey is Emily.
Dude,
okay.
Dude, come on.
This is going to suck.
Dude, Jake, man.
This is going to suck.
No. Just take it.
Put it into a Word document.
Find replace. Let's just take a minute and get this right.
Dewey.
Emily
Dewey. Dewey.
Is Dewey. Dewey.
That's the blue one.
Sorry, so I can get into character. What is Dewey like?
He's a duck.
He's rambunctious.
Okay.
He's absolutely rambunctious.
I'm rambunctious and rich. Okay.
They do live with Uncle Scrooge, who is rich. Yeah,
it's true. So, and in the reboot that they just did, I feel like they had more character and personality. Yeah. So like, give me a second to look this up. We're all going to take like a 10.
Well, let's take a Huey, Dewey, and Louie break. I also feel like it does feel like since your name is Hugh that maybe you should be Huey, but I do feel like Huey is maybe a little bossy, so I might be more of a Huey.
Wow.
We're going to look it up.
Yeah, we'll have to look up.
Wait, so are you going to be Huey or Louie?
Well, you know, we're deciding right now. Mm-hmm. We're doling out.
I'm trying to edit this document.
We're doling out docs.
Do not find and replace yet.
We're not ready yet. I will send you a hot brunch.
I'm Googling what is Dewey like.
All right, personalities and appearance.
Okay, there
Let's
we go.
See. Okay. While each have a distinct character's trait, they share some similarities.
Great.
All three are shown to be crafty and troublesome.
There we go.
Usually think alike. Let's see. All right, yeah. I'm gonna have to skip ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Let's get to that Huey, Dewey, and Louie section.
Oh, okay, here we go. 2017's DuckTales.
Great.
Huey's role as leader. So that's me, obviously.
Whoa, hey.
Yeah, I think Caldwell's, that's fair.
What?
Caldwell, yeah.
Yeah, I got the red cap. I'm in charge.
Caldwell
I'm always
kind of schemes. He's like our Huey, yeah.
I'm just smart. Sense. I'm good at planning things.
It makes sense.
And then we got, okay. Let's see. Okay, next up is going to be Dewey. Let's see. Dewey had an identity crisis as he wanted to separate himself from the trio to stand out.
Oh my
Dewey has middle child syndrome.
I'm looking through Dewey's aliases.
Mm-hmm.
They include the third one.
Whoa.
The nickname given to him by his granduncle. That's pretty. DJ Daft Duck.
Okay.
Dewdrop. Turbo, Fancy Business,
okay.
Champ Popular. So I think I'm actually going to go Lil Donald.
Oh,
okay.
So I think I'm going to go, Blue Nephew. So instead of Dewey, you can call me Blue Nephew.
That's great.
God, yeah, really?
That's easy. Yeah, that's easy, dude. Just Blue Nephew.
And then, of course.
And it's Dewey, but that's Blue Nephew. And then what's up with Louie?
Okay, Louie. Okay. Louie's portrayed as the most laid back.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
Classic you.
Classic
you. Classic
Louie.
Classic. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You easy love, going, easy yeah. going Murph. Okay.
Yeah, perfect.
Should I read this now? Or,
yeah, so go
you
ahead.
You know what? We're out of time.
Go ahead and find Replace to Emily.
Did you make it so that I'm Blue Nephew?
Yeah, so you're Blue Nephew.
The three and players. Then I'll be Louie.
Yeah, laid back Louie.
Even though I'm... Can you change it to Leader Louie?
I think it's got to be Lazy Louie, probably.
Whoa. Lazy Louie.
Just for the sake of the
lazy
character.
Louie.
I think I might actually go Champ Popular instead of Blue Nephew.
Okay, let's go ahead and switch it from Blue Nephew popular? To Champ Popular.
Champ Popular... And Caldwell, you're Huey?
Heroic Huey,
and
yeah.
Since we're actually, since we are doing, since we are doing visual jokes on this podcast, let me go ahead and get my Louie doll from the closet right behind Caldwell.
Okay, yeah.
Oh my God.
He's going to the closet. All right, see, I'm narrating, so it makes sense for a podcast. All right, here, that's the closet door opening. He's right behind me, folks. He's getting a doll. I want to check which color the doll is. It is a green doll. It's a laid-back look. Holy shit. Murph had in this room a Louie doll.
And it's like, it's...
He got it so fast.
So weathered from time. Yeah, it's like, just, you can see every single childhood sleep Murph took with that doll.
You put that thing in your mouth.
Yeah.
Wow.
For sure.
And this you were trying to argue that you weren't a Louie.
This is my guy.
Yeah.
Is that your, that's like a childhood doll?
This is a childhood Louie.
Oh my God. Wow.
Wait, that should be the thumbnail.
Oh, yeah. For the main feed?
For the main feed.
Oh, yeah, what the hell are
we
doing?
We couldn't.
No, you can. You can put it on the... Yeah,
this
we'll
is
put
absolutely
it on the
short show. Rest energy.
Okay, anyway, yeah. So
okay.
I'm Louie.
Players. Let's call them Champ Popular, Heroic Huey, and Lazy Louie. Ended
great
up
job,
in
Jake.
Combat, yeah. And Lazy Louie found himself in death saves. As
can I just wait?
Huey.
Can I interject?
Yeah,
it's kind of weird that they all named their characters after DuckTales characters.
Yeah,
right.
It's a little strange.
Is that what
this case is about?
I feel like if I were the DM, I'd be like, "Come on, guys! I put a lot of work into
this." Yeah. So right. this must be one of those cases.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we'll side with the DM immediately.
Continue, Donald.
No, go ahead. Uncle.
Okay.
Donald.
As Lazy Louie found himself in death saves, Heroic Huey and Champ Popular.
Sounds right.
You got it, dude. You got it.
Stared at each other helplessly.
Sorry. I actually want to go back to Blue Nephew.
Blue Nephew? Okay. Stared at each other. And
Jake.
So Hirokiri and Blue Nephew? Yeah.
Should we let's just kick it off from the top.
Kick it off with what?
The top. From the top. Mm-hmm. I forgot.
Yeah,
just so I can fully orient myself.
We're a little lost,
Blue
Jake.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
we're just a little off.
Okay. Three players.
Didn't do a great job reading, but go ahead.
It's on me. It's on me. Apologies. We can edit all this out. We can edit all the bleed up
why?
Out.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's edit everything out so nobody even understands why we're calling them Champ Popular Blue Nephew. Okay. Three players, let's call them Heroic Huey, Blue Nephew, and Lazy Louie, ended up in combat, and Lazy Louie found himself in death saves. As Heroic Huey and Blue Nephew stared at each other helplessly with nary a healing spell between them, I suddenly remembered something and reminded them that they were given healing potions a few sessions ago. Silence for a moment, Then, heroic Huey stated that he didn't think his character knew what a healing potion was.
Is that what they sound like?
Kind of.
Whoa.
In the original ones, they changed the voices later.
That's
and
so
Blue
fun.
Nephew said that since she didn't think of it, her character didn't think of it.
I would say that. Together. I so would say that. Me as Blue Nephew, not me as
Blue Nephew. Yeah, that's a blue. That's what Blue Nephew would do, not
blue
what Champ
would do.
Blue Nephew mindset.
That's a Blue Nephew do.
We've been playing together for a couple of years at this point and definitely used healing potions in the past with these very characters. I tried pointing this out to Heroic Huey and Blue Nephew to no avail. I'm sure Heroic Huey and Blue Nephew didn't have it out for Lazy Louie. Since we were all good friends IRL, I have no idea why Heroic Huey and Blue Nephew reacted like this, except for perhaps they were worried about metagaming. Was I overstepping to remind Heroic Huey and Blue Nephew about their forgotten healing potions? P.S. Where was our DM during all of this? Let's call him. Well, they wrote, let's call him Hake Jerwitz. But I guess we can call me Uncle Scrooge
Uncle Scrooge.
All right, great. Did you follow what happened?
I mostly was listening for the names.
Mm-hmm. All right, great.
So Blue Nephew and what was the Huey one?
Heroic Huey.
Yeah.
Heroic Huey was not heroic in this moment.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately. I have to agree.
The role-playing to purposely... The like avoidance of metagaming to the disservice of... the game is silly. Mm-hmm. Is very silly to me. It's
My
just being like,
only thought is that like though this is their friend and the person who was down is the person who wrote it. The person who was down.
Yeah, I think so. So they must be thinking like, oh, your character is down, so you can't remind us that you have a healing potion.
Mm. But the character
almost like they're shutting that down or something because they think that's metagame.
But they said so. The Dewey. Blue Nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blue Nephew said that their character didn't remember because they didn't remember. That is kind of annoying, but I get it. Like, I get where they're coming from. They're just don't help me. The Heroic Huey being like, I don't know what a potion is. It's just, I don't know. Like, is that what you want to do with D&D? Is just like run around screaming, scared of every spell you see? Like, just being like, I don't know what these things are. It's just, you live in the world. There are potions in the world. You're fighting goblins and stuff. Like, you use potions. It's just not that weird.
I kind of agree.
Right. It's like an EpiPen.
I kind of agree that where was your DM? Because I do... like, though I would not do this myself, I can understand getting the hint from the other player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Feeling a little like, oh, is this... I can understand
Blue Nephew
or sympathize
wasn't wrong.
It should have been the DM, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, like, you can step out of the game for a second and be like, hey, I think they actually have a healing potion.
Yeah, because your character, there's a level of metagaming.
Although the DM has so much on their plate.
There's a level of metagaming
Uncle Scrooge has got a lot going on. There's a lot of business.
Yeah.
I feel like in the past, when someone's gone down, even at our table, we're like, you try to think of something and then you're like, and then you go to a moment of like, shit, is there anything I can do?
Yeah.
You kind of say that out loud.
Yeah.
And inviting a little bit of like, someone pointed out. So maybe you're too fast. I'm reading between the lines, but maybe it was just like, you know, not letting somebody know what they wanted to do with their turn. You're like, you guys have a healing potion, give it to me or something.
It's a level of metagaming that actually like leads, it makes sense for the role play. It actually makes more sense for the role play because in real life, you're taking long breaks between D&D sessions.
Mm-hmm.
In D&D, it's like in these life or death situations, you remember when someone gave you a healing potion.
Totally.
This is what D&D is fun, is because it is these two contrasts. It is a game, but it is also a story.
Yeah.
And you get the best of both worlds.
You do both, right.
You get to be a character that rules. Like, you remember shit like this, and you just have potions that can fix
things.
Yes, to
me, this isn't even metagaming. This is just, it is a game. You're not actually a warrior
I do wonder if, like, the strategy for working with these, with your other companions in the future is to be like, as I roll my death save, I toss and turn in the throes of near death, and oops, out of my bag is a healing potion. Comes out. It's just on the ground now.
Yeah. With my last gasp of life, I unzip my fanny pack.
Yeah.
Do you think that Hiro Kiyui was like trying to give himself like a character moment later on by being like,
no,
oh, I didn't remember. I could have saved them.
It's so strange.
I think they're just being annoying.
I think so.
Some people
don't want like the battle to feel like a collaborative.
Yes.
And I understand that is some people's taste. It's just not my taste. So I'm always like, I don't get it. I just don't really get it. I kind of like it to be a board game.
Yeah, if there's a situation where it's like, I don't know, you're getting chased by, a trap or something, like a boulder comes down, and you're getting chased by a boulder, mm-hmm. and there's a new player that's running, and it's like, I can't get away, I don't know how to get away, and someone else at the table says, you have action surge. That, to me, is not really metagaming, because the character would know their abilities. They would know that they can.
Right.
Like, if you're saying, I don't know what to do here, like, I think you are inviting people to kind of help out.
It's different if they're
you know, telling you your every move, or you should cast this spell or do complicated things.
If someone is like, give me a bardic and you give me bless, and then I'm gonna bullshit. go and do this
totally.
I can't tell you how many times Jake and Emily have had to be like, hey, you know you can stun people with Sol, right?
And that's fine. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever said it.
Emily's usually faster, but I know you're thinking. Yeah, help your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think that like the idea of initiative is really helpful, because there would be hair trigger like closer moments, but I feel like I have more sympathy if it's like, oh, you're in separate rooms or something like that. Then it's like, we wouldn't be able to talk to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But like if you're all in battle together, it feels like there would be some overlap with shouting anyways.
Right. Yeah.
If this were to happen, they would just take Lazy Louie to Gyro Gearloose's lab, and they would be able to revive him in some way with some sort of kooky machine.
Of course.
Whoa. Yeah, Murph, go get the Gyro.
Do you have the Gyro Gearloose? Gyro Gearloose.
Just Louie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He's Scrooge McDuck's prized inventor that works for him at the factory.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he Blue Nephew's true father?
There are some online theories.
Wait, really?
No.
I don't know.
He's like he's a lanky chicken man.
Blue Nephew just feels like he doesn't fit in.
It's true.
Blue Nephew needs his own story.
Yeah.
Blue Nephew just feels like, I mean, my great uncle calls me the third one. Like, what am I supposed to do with
What's
that?
What's going on?
I don't know, Blue Nephew. And with that, I think, okay, we're going to have to serve this these players some
hot
brunch,
I think
right?
The players. Let's
For sure.
Them.
Oh, well, Huey, Dewey, and Louie came from eggs, so we'll give them some hot eggs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Some, like, liquid metal holidays.
Oh, you know what we'll do? It'll be like Disney World style. It'll be a character breakfast, but this a character great. Skater wears. And so they're even more top heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And the suits are boiling hot. The suits are boiling hot to the touch.
Yeah.
So they fall.
The suits are hot.
Yeah.
The suits are hot on the outside.
Yeah.
There's a cooling system. That's a sauna, brother.
There's a cooling system on the inside. Of course.
Okay, that's good.
The suits, if you touch Louie or Huey or Dewey, it hurts.
Yeah, it hurts.
It burns.
It's touching a hot stove.
You wouldn't think that feathers could be hot, but these are just
steamy. They're so hot. So hot. Everywhere they walk, they burn footprints into the ground.
It's just so steamy.
But I don't know why you're upset, because you signed a release when you walked in.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're telling me.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie can be mean to you, and they can spill eggs on you, and they're hot to touch.
But if you call Dewey Blue Nephew, then you can have a one-on-one aside with Blue Nephew.
Yeah. So this is like, there's like a interactive theater thing going on here.
Yeah, yeah. I like it that. Becomes Sleep No More with Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Blue Nephew's like, come with me. I have something to show you.
I cannot believe their voices sounded like that. How did anyone understand it? How did children understand it?
Yeah, you didn't have to. You just knew, it on an emotional level.
You were just watching Scrooge swim in money.
Yeah. Which did Scrooge speak normally?
Scrooge has a Scottish accent.
Yes, that's true.
So was the idea that the Huey, Dewey, and Louie just had baby voices?
No, so in like the original cartoons, like before Scrooge McDuck is around, they're hanging out with Donald, and they sound like Donald. They're like baby Donalds, essentially. So they all have
Wait, Scrooge McDuck isn't Donald Duck?
No.
Okay, Emily. Right.
Oh my God.
Here we go. All right.
I just always thought that it was, you know how like...
Let's look at the duck family tree.
You can't blow out the family tree, man. It's so thick.
Krishna is a manifestation of a deity. I assumed that Scrooge McDuck was like a manifestation of Donald
Duck. Scrooge and Donald, I believe, are... No, Donald is Scrooge's nephew as well. It's nephews it's all like the way down.
If we're talking about the ducks, it has to go on short rest.
That's okay. Really fair. If we're opening the duck family tree...
We will pull up... Yes, we will pull up the Duck family tree on the short rest. First thing, we promise we'll get to this.
Okay.
It's the very first thing we'll talk about.
I can tell you there's a duck named Gladstone Gander.
Absolutely.
All
oh, that fucking
That's
lucky duck.
That's a little tease. Okay. That's going to get you on over to Patreon. Patreon.com/NadPod, folks.
What's the opposite of advertising?
Murph, go ahead and tell about Scrooge's rival, Glomgold.
Okay, in the meantime, we can close this one out by stepping into church and hearing a confession from Cal, just Cal.
Whoa, Cal writes, Cal, just Cal.
Not a case, but a confession for all members of the church, regardless of their standing in other areas. Wow. Thank you. I bring forth the sin of the false failure.
Oh.
My players were in a forest and being followed by some bad guys. The bad guys got caught by a player's perception check and a brief initiative followed. The warlock in my party cast a spell that required a saving throw from my dude, who failed with a 5.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was kind of boring, so I said they rolled a nat 1. Everyone laughed and enjoyed the momentous failure. But I felt like I cheapened the critical fail for future roles. Could I be forgiven?
Wow.
I haven't fudged a nat one since, and this stands as the only memorable time I've lied about a role. P.S. I don't really care if the bailiff of Dungeon Court forgives my sins, as his opinion means so little.
Wow.
Thank you.
P.S. ate the show.
P.S. ate the show. You know, we've never had a case like this or a confession like this where swapping a failure for a worse failure.
Well, normally we deal with scoundrels.
This is kind of like going into a job interview and being like, my biggest weakness is that I work too hard.
Well, it's not though. I do appreciate this person bringing this, right? Mm-hmm. Because it still is disrespecting the number that was rolled on the die.
It's
because
true.
I definitely have had those moments where it's like, you fail, but it's not funny enough. And it just feels like, okay.
Now
whatever.
In the future, when like your bad guy's pants would fall down, like it's just going to feel cheapened.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you don't get the nat one. It's not as silly as maybe you'd like for it to be.
And if everything was all nat ones, then if you increase the rate of nat ones will get to a point where they're oversaturated and therefore less charming.
The nat one is comical, intrinsically comical, which is why we were tempted to say it.
It's baseline
moment.
A fart.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I honestly, it shows integrity that you brought this, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Do you think we should make them do some sort of nat one Hail Mary situation where they have to like repeat something?
What are those kick-ups?
Yeah.
What are they called?
It's a kick-up or a kip-up?
I think it's a kip-up.
Is a kip-up a pull-up and a kicking off the ground? Is a kip-up just mean you use your momentum, I think?
I think kip-up is
just moving your momentum.
Yeah, I think they should do 5 kip-ups.
5 kip-ups?
5 kip-ups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have to toot each time.
And you can have
as if you rolled a nat one.
And a warm brunch.
And a warm
brunch. Have a warm brunch.
You have to drink a mimosa that's been boiled but has cooled down to warm temperature.
And like maybe there's a 1 in 20 chance that one of the eggs is not going to be cooked Ramona Quimby style.
Yeah. Basically, you can be a busboy at hot brunch.
Yeah.
So you can finish the mimosas as they've cooled off.
What is Ramona Quimby style?
It's a children's book where Ramona thinks that her egg is hard boiled and she smacks it on her head and then it runs down her face and it's just a runny yolk.
We only
know the busy world of Richard Scarry.
Yeah.
Sorry, the cuts are too deep.
Yeah.
Sorry, my characters ride apples. So that's all I know.
Okay.
I'm a worm wife and I live in the dirt.
And with that, why don't we go ahead and wrap this one up. So forgiven. So forgiven.
So forgiven. So forgiven. 5 kip-ups and a
five
warm mimosa.
And a warm brunch. And a warm brunch.
Then so forgiven.
Yeah, then so forgiven. Sweet. You can listen to the Duck Family Tree. We're really going to dive into this on the Patreon.
We're not going
to
do any
Are
cases.
Are we? We're not going to dive into it too deeply.
I think we're going to dive into it kind of deep.
Well, we're not going to dive in. We're going to climb up.
Jake, back me up. We're going to dip our toe.
What I really like is this tension you here, because that's what's going to make people
this
tune
is
in.
Be the new Flintstones.
So I'll say, yeah, we're not going to dive in too much. We're not going to dive in too much.
You won't dive in at all. If you're in it, you're in it is the thing.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to be cats stuck in this tree.
Yeah. Okay. So
we'll see what happens.
Head
on
over to patreon.com/nadpod. That's NEDDPOD. Don't sing yet.
Sweet.
Don't do it. We've got some things to plug. We've got some live shows coming up.
That's right.
Yes, we do. We just started a bunch and they were so fun.
Oh yeah.
Everyone that we got to meet in the Midwest was awesome. I've never been to Madison or Milwaukee and I loved them both.
Yeah.
And of course Chicago and Minneapolis were gorgeous as well.
Indeed. And we had a great two live Dungeon Court shows.
So yeah. They were so
there's
fun.
A Dungeon Court show in your town, come check it out.
You might have seen a picture on our Instagram of Jake getting caked. We all decided to take the punishments for our players or all the people in the audience. Yeah. And Jake accepted a caking and it was beautiful.
And it was your first cake, right?
That was my first cake. I tried it. It's
so Jake is getting into cake. Or he got
not really
into
for
cake.
Me.
All right. So
I also want to shout out all the people that were training little bracelets.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Taylor Swift style bracelets. So that was really, really fun.
I really like the Swiftie bands.
Really got a love kick bracelets. Out of it.
You can come see us for Dungeon Court in Los Angeles on October 26th.
Yeah, baby.
Denver, we're going to be doing an actual play October 27th.
Denver, we're coming back for you.
Sacramento, October 28th. And then rounding that out with Portland for Dungeon Court. Yes.
I cannot believe children just... endured this.
It was like the 40s, you know.
New Orleans on November 14th, Orlando on November 15th, and finally rounding it out with Fort Lauderdale for Dungeon Court on November 17th. So be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, baby.
All right.
In the meantime, you can follow us on social media that we may or may not use at chmurfsme, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Extra Assembly, and at Chico versus Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NEDDPOD.
It's the end of the show, everyone, and you know what that means. It's time to shout out our benevolent council of elders. Starting with Brad D, Jeffrey S, Lord of the Fjord, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Cutter W, Feared Al, Daniel G, Dylan B, Katie G, Dungeon Mama, okay, maybe a little bit sexual, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P, Vincent W, Victor T, Balnor's Boy, Hoid's Friend, Justin I, Danny Danster, TJ M, Trele the Crayfay, Christopher B, Daniel R, Jordan L, Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, the guy from a recent live show who gave Caldwell a Flintstones graphic novel who is Milwaukee here, Princess Yar, Michael L, Jory S, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, star of every film ever made in Bohemia, not currently starring in anything with solidarity with the WGA and SAG-AFTRA, Samuel B, Mike H, Alka Schmelcher Plus, Great Value Gemma, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Heratrian, Rex Thaniel the White, Diana Delos Lopez, CC Lulu, Ecuparos, a rabbit fuck detective, Timmy R, Lucas B, Reiko, It's Kevin! Calder will come cold again. Winter is coming. Hashtag CCC forever. Shout out to my fairy followers. Taylor B, the vengeful one-winged angel. Cass, skateboard Cass. Captain of the Steven C. Mike K, Lady Taco, Joy T, Jake L, Nick W, swashbuckling swag snagger, Agnity, who's inviting everyone to a little picnic called Manjas September 7th in Central Park on the Heckscher Playground Lawns, William W, Big Bad Beardo the Man, Chad, Eric McD, Ananarama, Percival, Frederick Stein, Von Musel, Klausowski, Durolo III, Item, the Simple Dimples, J. Dragonborn, Vincent, the Juke Duke Daniels, the Sandrayan, Ben A., Dave H., Catherine S., Dave K., Christian S., Dustin S., Danny F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookfire's assistant Izzy F., DPC is awesome, Sean, the shade tree mechanic of Zelbuldar, Summer Rose Grand Terre, Cat C., Mesa of Hausen Zunza, Ariel, the occasional mermaid, Selena N., Velaciraptor, B., Perky Always, Pat L., Sevexel, Maxwell J., Lauren H., Talia, Ryan S., The Bone Duster, Annie M., Faye Floofs, the floofiest of all, Arch Fay, Melissa, Ball Business Illustrator, I'd like to see this new restaurant we're talking about, Hot Brunch, Ploops, Carly A., Connor S., Salil, Leviathan, BioQuirt 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H., Trub Hop Dropper, Jack H., Crabster Champion of Crowd, Scuttling Sideways Toads Tomorrow, Lindsay W., Steel Birdie, Valen, Carlin C., Emily S., Sauls, Slimy, Spunk, hashtag release the sweet blue hole cut. Oh my goodness. James G., Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey. Is it so much to ask, huh? I'm Milwaukee here. Okay, that's an inside joke too. A live show. Daddy Master Dandy, Eric B., Stars and Roses for Han Forever, Kent. Wait for Carnegie Hall! Marcos, Learns the Balance Druid, Dakota James P., Frida M., Pagos, Betrothed, Self-Proclaimed, Fae Prince, Until Halloween 2023, Stay Tuned, I Will, Tracy P., The Crick Elf Librarian, Maggie S., See You in Chicago, Holly Hyena, Kristen Z., Leah, Hunter H., May B., Pixel Stars, Akash T., Andrew, Crick, Planeswalker, Doofus, Cal, Just Cal, Edison N, Russell H, A Monk Named Dilgo, Cody Kerr, voice haver and guitar holder of entirely unacclaimed absurdist punk band The Golly G Willikers. Our friend Simon, running lines with Samuel L in his dreams, hoping to inspire a new story, roll a performance check. Keychains, Pentium 2 processor, Lorelei the succubus, and Kyra, her busty queen. Matt M., your friendly neighborhood yaunt and yunkle, Andrew and Sid. See you in Minneapolis. I bet we already did see you. That was so fun. John Adams, yes, like the president. Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia. We met you in the Midwest. It's good to meet you. James F., Jimmy A., M4L, Austin S., Knight of the Living Falster. Wayfarer briefly warped out of the Fey Realm to a strange city called Minneapolis. Hiss. Okay, I remember. Shane C., Barpo, Good Barrel Barbarian, Mary Beth C., see y'all in Chicago and New York. Contender in the making, Three Awakened Gooses, Welshlander, Garrett G., One Big Curd, Mr. D., Talisman, the man with the lucky charms for you, Dana the Daisy, Sean J., Ethan B., Renee, the Monster Captain, Gabriel W., Box, Clifton, Milwaukee, I'm Milwaukee. Olivia, the enchanting bard, who is working hard on her audition for the lead singer of the Mountain Crows. Winter Slade, Forrest H., aka Life is Like a Box of Mama Toll Gold Sticky Buns. Riley S., Fico, Angry Wheat, J3001, Thrath, the Demon Lord of Spite. What a follow. Welcome. Anthony, the raddest of dudes, who secured his Carnegie Hall tickets for himself and his lovely partner Josh, also the finest of dudes. Josh H., Clementine T., Caleb L., fairy followers say hi, hashtag Calder will cold, come cold again, Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian, MJ the BFG drinking tea by the sea, little ferret pal. Dogs of Babel, Eleanor K., Mr. Meowski, Gino T., Mama Bell, the Silver Serpent herself, Feyunir, Knat Spell, the Wizard, Hannah Ross 3, Derek D., Kalu Kalei, can't wait to see you play at Carnegie Hall, yay! Tristan the Talentless Hunk, MJ Johnson, BTA Workshop got engaged after the Minneapolis live show. Yes, Jake, there will be cake at the wedding. Oh, congratulations. Mios the Great, Alex K, Joshua P, Joshua S, Alexander, Linz W, Angel LaPamela, Sandra Rita, as this continues, you know he's getting sweeter. Emma S, Red, the Reforged Warforged, Sexy Little Spider, waiting for Murph to stop being weird about this and just date me already. A cat sneaking onto a plane for their first U.S. visit. Ooh. Hard Ones, Hot Hump Gunk, Shell B, yes, from the Sprite Girls. Check out her new single with Lichney Spears, Crip Me Baby One More Time. Stale Bread on a Salad, aka Crouton, Jackson R, T3RHX, Official Ned Flanders, Anastasia W, the Honey Goblin, Nova B, the Death Chord Bard, Zborb, Blake H, Big Bev's bestie, Lloyd, the rat that controls my cerebellum, Opa Remy style from Ratatouille. Sally is so excited to see everyone in New York City and wants to thank her daddy, Ryan, for getting her into D&D in NatPod. Shelby C, Papa Sky Days, Mima Sky Days, Taylor B, oh, it's V, Tommy W, Mike and Lisa sending love to all of y'all, Haley the Human, Megan N, the Big M, John Fraser the Dice Lender, Stephanie of House in Zunza, Jake's Ramen Shop, Tracy P, Karjish, Benjamin A, Sacrificial Otaku, pen name for Callie's cousin who discovered anime and is trying to spread the word all over Bohemia. Sav, the advisor to Princess Shiverblight, who helped decide that it was indeed a good idea to help out the other dragons. A misunderstood kid whose upbringing was mostly just fine. The terrible trio of George, Chester, and Toad. Mikkel A, Shanimal, commander of the 5th anniversary live show Pocket Foster Army. Anji A, and normal ass dude. What a one to end it on. Thank you all so much. We are just buzzing with your love like the little worker bees that we are. We love you. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Goodbye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.